The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. The whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. When the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good ground and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But he has no root in himself, but endures for a little while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is the Old Testament lesson from the book of Isaiah. We know that some stuff works and some stuff doesn't work. And if it doesn't work, you got to find stuff that works. Makes sense, right? Absolutely. All right. Just look at the economy for a second. It was going along quite well, and then it didn't. It stopped working. Then they argue, how do you restart it? Why do some parts of the economy work and other parts don't? They ask the question, how to fix it? Maybe there's a chance it'll work again. And you can discuss this all day. Not going to let the economists discuss that all day. My point is, there's a whole lot of opinion in the question of the economy. What's happened? How's it going to be fixed? All these. Tons of questions, tons of opinions, but I'm going to talk about something that's not an opinion and not up to chance. And I'm going to divert for a second. I'm glad our salvation does not depend on our own skills or having the right answer. The Old Testament lessons from Isaiah. Prophet Isaiah, this is right near the end of the book. There's another five chapters in the book to go. He's talking about when the people come back to the land, what it's going to be like. And in this passage from Isaiah, there is no chance of failure. God has removed any chance of failure. If there's a title that would go in with this sermon, it would be No Chance of Failure. God guarantees, for as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the manner for which I sent her. The church belongs to God. It's His creation. It's His work. You know, when we want to see the church living and thriving as God would have it be, all we need to do is faithfully to hear the Word of God, proclaim the Word of God, and share the Word of God. His promise is, when we do that, there's no chance of failure. And there are several promises that you can find in this text. There's promise of joy, rejoicing, peace. There's an eager anticipation for what's going to happen. But there's also the challenge to believe it. You can't receive the blessings if you don't believe the offer that's been given to us. Sure, we got the sun and the rain. Without believing, we don't get the blessings. We won't be thankful. For example, yes, it will rain and snow on the unbelievers just like the believers. But the unbeliever doesn't know where it comes from. They just think it's random chance. That's when it rains outside. And it's not the day I want it to rain. You ever have that happen? Sure, we all have. All right, I usually offer up a little prayer. Well, God, I guess you know somebody needs it more than I need a sunny day. You know, that kind of puts me in a better spirit about the rain. Somebody needs the rain more than I need it sunny. All right, the guarantee that God gives us, it's going to affect all of us, but it's hard to believe it. The guarantee is the Word of God. It works. And you don't get it. The Word of God works because it is the Word of God, not because of some nifty little programs, clever things that people do in church. Yes, these things can be used to attract others, all right? But aside from the Word of God, all of it's useless. You know, we Lutherans used to be very strong on the idea of the Word of God alone. And I'm going to pick on some of our synodical magazines. They're always disaster relief. Like that's what we've become as a disaster relief company or corporation, rather than sharing the Word of God. Sometimes we act like the success of the Word of God depends on us. But God will do it, whatever it is He decides. He will accomplish what He desires to build His church. He causes us to believe. He summons people to His side to cleanse us and to make us holy, all by His Word. Excuse me. But again, we act like it all depends on us. If we're doing the right things, the Word of God will be successful. I would say some have quit. Some have even quit our church because we're too small. They say you're not big enough. Wow. We're doing the right things when we're studying and hearing the Word of God. Sometimes we have to stand back like old Israel did when they were obeying God and let God act. There's a couple places in the Old Testament that I love where it's just purely God acting and Israel doing absolutely nothing. And one of those places is 2 Chronicles 20. Israel's going up against two nations at the same time. Not good odds, 2-1. God caused confusion in the ranks of the enemies, so the two nations coming against Israel fought against themselves, and Israel got to stand on the sidelines and watch. Very clearly, God had been acting there, not something, it wasn't depending on what the people had done. There's no chance of failure when the Word of God is shared. And the Word of God does not accomplish our goals, because oftentimes our goals are opposite than God's. Sometimes we want the numbers in church to be admired by the community. We want security, financial security and prosperity. The Word of God should be like this. There was a member who went up to his pastor and said, "I used to be very afraid that I was going to die. Then I heard the Word of God, and I don't fear death anymore." See, the Word isn't shared just to strengthen the bottom line. And I'm not saying we're doing that. I'm absolutely not saying that at all. But the Word of God is meant to comfort. It's meant to heal. It's meant to share the forgiveness of sins. And it's to save souls. It gives us the peace that passes all understanding. The ones at the end, that's what the angels sang at the very first Christmas. And in all of that, it takes out our ambitions out of this equation. God says, "My word will not return unto me void, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the manner for which I sent it." Notice, it doesn't accomplish what we want. It's not, but you know why? Do you know why the Word of God doesn't accomplish what we want? It's not ours. God's Word succeeds because it's His Word. It's not ours. You know, our world truly, how do I put this? Our world really is ineffective when it comes to understanding the power of the work of God. Man's thoughts are 100% inadequate. God's thoughts are 100% adequate for everything that we need. Yes, we have to be able to sustain the church by taking care of these other things. All right? Absolutely. I want to be very, very clear on that. But that's not the focus. You know, the church can have all the fancy lights, music, stage production, sound system, but they've got to be so careful that it always remains focused on the Word of God, not the show. Gee, look at it that way. Big churches have problems too. Sometimes you think they've got it all made. They've got the problem. They've gotten so big that they start to stray into the show rather than the Word of God. We struggle too with our own personal struggles here. All right? If we want to trust God's promise, we have to use that Word. I keep saying the Word of God's effective. Well, for it to be effective, you got to study the Word of God, you got to read the Word of God, and you got to share the Word of God. And by the way, I just want to be clear, lights, music, stage, all that, the fancy stuff, there is absolutely nothing wrong with it if the Word of God is preached, because the Word of God is effective. All right, if it draws people to hear the Word, fine. But again, the focus, no matter what type of church a person attends, it has to be focused on the Word of God. Not what I feel makes a happy life. What God says life is about. And we people have a tendency, I think, sometimes to think God's Word won't work. That our work is more effective. You know, our synod grew the fastest when we were focused on the Word of God. We started to decline when we started to get into thinking, well, we got to think with more modern ideas. We got to put certain levels of intelligence. You know, we in the seminaries know more than everybody else. And I mean, I could give a whole church lesson on what happened in the walkout of 73. We've been on a decline ever since then. I think it's because we're getting away from the Word of God itself. Now, God's promise is also a challenge to us. When we listen, I wrote this out and I'm going to read it just so I get this straight. Just listen to and speak the word of God. Be faithful and trust God, and everything will work out right. Not everything will work out pleasantly, or every moment will be happy, or you'll be the envy of the community. But it will work out just the way that God wants it to work. What does God want us to know about Him? And the first thing is to trust Him. When we trust Him, we can live in joy and peace forever. We also confess that we have failed, that we do not deserve what He gives us. All right? Being good or, quote, holy does not depend on us. Where we get declared holy before God is when Christ died on the cross for us. And this life is not it. The be-all, end-all. Heaven is the perfect place. It's as good as it's going to get. You know, in the Bible, we do not have a clear understanding of what heaven's like, because there's nothing that compares to it. In other words, that means it's pretty cool. All right, if Ben was here, I'd say heaven's going to be more fun than the latest roller coaster at King's Island. Oh, come on, yeah, I still ride them at my age. I'm going to be the 75-year-old man riding them with my grandkids. Come on, guys, just one more. But anyways, all that kind of fun stuff is not going to compare to what we have in heaven. You know, the success of a church doesn't depend on numbers. It depends on the Word of God being read, studied, and shared. And all of us, even the ones who can't be here for very legitimate reasons, all right, did we all share the Word of God and remain faithful to it? See, the work of God doesn't depend on us either. No matter how much we share the Word, it doesn't depend on us if it changes people. God uses His Word to accomplish the purpose He sent it out to be. And there is no chance of failure when it comes to God's promises. When good things happen, give God the praise. When bad things happen, let it be like the book of James, chapter 1, verse 2. Count it all joy, brethren. For when things go wrong, it builds perseverance. Had a mental blank on that one. I know that verse backwards and forwards. Don't you hate that when your brain goes blank? It's happening more and more. I don't think that's good. Anyway, what is true is that if we use the Word of God faithfully, good things are going to happen. But they're God's good things, not ours. Excuse me. That's what makes it a guarantee with no chance of failure. The Word of God has no chance of failure. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.